Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, and we trust the Lord will manifest His presence as He already has in this meeting as we stand before you. Turn to a portion of Scripture here I want to take a look at this morning. It's found in the Old Testament in the book of Hosea, and it's a prophecy that Hosea made, I believe, of something that happened after Christ came, and we'll talk a little bit about what it was here that Hosea was talking about. Here in Hosea chapter 1, verse 10, it says this: "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God." That's a wonderful privilege and honor in our lives as we live today to know and to have the evidence that we are the sons of God. Nothing can be more valuable to a person than to realize, understand, and have the feeling that you're in the family of God and that you are indeed a son of the living God. Because to be a son of the living God, it took God by His grace to adopt you into His family. And you were dead in trespasses and in sin. And God came down and gave you eternal life, and in that process adopted you into His family. But what the prophet Hosea here, I believe, has reference to is the fact that during the Old Testament, the law service, the country or the nation of Israel, was a special and a very chosen nation. God chose Israel above every other nation. And the people of Israel were called and known to be the sons of God, the children of God. Other nations outside of Israel were not known to be God's children. Did God have children among those other nations? I believe he did. I believe he had children out there among them. But under the lost service, or under the early worship of the church, under that period, Israel was the chosen people, the chosen nation of God. Now, what I believe about that, I believe the nation Israel being chosen of God was in fact a type and a shadow of God's spiritual Israel. That included all of God's people everywhere, out of every nation, out of every kindred, and out of every tongue, and out of every tribe of people upon the face of the earth, both Jews and Gentiles. And what Hosea is saying here, there's coming a time when not only Israel, the people of Israel will be considered the sons of God, but also Gentiles. They'll be recognized throughout the world to be the sons of God, those that God has chosen out from Adam's race in a covenant of grace before the world was, and sent Jesus here into this world to redeem them. Now, when the gospel first began to be preached, we'll see that if we read the book of Acts, the first part of the book of Acts is the gospel going to Israel. But because of Israel's rejection of the gospel, finally God took it to the Gentiles. God, even in the book of Acts, sent one of his apostles, who was a Jew, that's the apostle Peter, down to Cornelius' house to preach the gospel unto a Gentile. So here Hosea is speaking of a time when the gospel would go, I believe, to the Gentiles, and those people, other people of all the nations, would also be considered the children of God. We'll see reference to that in the book of Romans, chapter 9, where it says, and I like the way this starts off, verse 24, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. You see, the way God had the writer to pen that scripture, he's first giving you a key to every single child of God. It is a calling that comes to us from God himself. And that's what he says here. As he said, even unto us which he hath called. God calls every single person, whether he's a Jew or a Gentile, out of nature's darkness into the marvelous light of his Son, Jesus Christ. Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he said also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which were not my people. Which were not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there they shall be called the children of the living God. And that includes us here at Macedonia today. Now, there may be someone here that I don't know about, but I suspect we're all Gentiles in the flesh. None of us are of the Jewish race that came from Abraham. So as Gentiles, we're now called, as well as any Jews that were the children of God, we're called ourselves the children of the living God. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sands of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. And he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, left heaven and immortal glory, took upon himself a body of flesh that he took from the Virgin Mary, went to the tree of the cross, and on the tree of the cross redeemed us from our sins. And in the process of God adopting us into his family, imputed unto us the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Now, in what time I have left here this morning, I want to take a look at some scriptures that talk about us being the children of God. And I can remember a time where this one I took the wrong way, this particular one, because it states something that you must do to become a child of God. Is there anything that you must do to become a child of God? No, not in that regeneration that God gives to you. But once God gives you that regeneration, once he makes you a living child of God, then it is the responsibility of that person that has received life to manifest himself as a child of God. And by doing that, by manifesting that God has placed within you, you become a child of God. And that's what John is speaking of here in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. He says, but as many, verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. Now, what did he mean, the power to become the Son of God? Now, the best example I know to give you of that is Carol and I have been married close to 50 years. 50 years ago, when Carol and I set our wedding vows before her family and my family, and the preacher at the end pronounced us husband and wife, Carol became a member of the Herring family, and I became a member of her family, the Brissy family. But as time went on from that day, and through our actions and our interactions with her, with the Herring family, and me with the Brissy family, we became more like we were a part of the family. She, over the years, has become more and more, as we interact with Heron, as she interacts with Herons, a part of the Heron family. Same with me and her family. When her family sees me now, they think of me as part of the family. Why? Because of our interaction with one another through the years. Now, that's what I believe John's speaking of here. As a matter of fact, he goes on and says, this is not a power to become the Son of God, to be born again, because he goes on and expresses in this that he's talking about a person that has already been born again. Let's read it. He came unto his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. You see, when God quickens you, you immediately are adopted into his family. But in order to manifest that you are a child of God to yourself and to others, it takes some action on your part. And that's the power that he's put within us that enables us to manifest ourselves as the children of God. And he goes on to say who it is he gave this power to. He said, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those that were born of God, those whom God had quickened, given life and made into his family, and then they have the opportunity to manifest that nature and become to themselves and to others that know them, in fact, the very children of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So here, we're quickened, we're given life by God, adopted into his family, and then we follow after Jesus. We become believers and followers of him and manifest ourselves to ourselves and to others that we are indeed the children of this living God. What a great honor and privilege it is to be called and to be counted among those who are the children of God. Now we want to turn over to the book of Romans. Well, we'll see a scripture here that tells us that when God quickens us and he puts within us Christ Jesus, the hope of glory, he puts within us the Spirit of God, and we have this, then we're led by that Spirit. It's that Spirit that leads us. When we got up this morning, maybe especially last week, it might have been difficult because, you know, you had to move your clocks up and you lost an hour of sleep, and realistically, you had to wake up an hour earlier, and it might have been difficult to wake up that hour earlier and miss an hour of sleep and get up and go to the house of the Lord. But the thing that causes us to want to get up and get dressed and get out and come to this place here at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church to worship the Lord is because we have something within us that God has placed within there that causes us to have a desire to gather together with like precious saints and to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And in doing that, we honor God, and it makes our lives much happier and fuller as a result of it. So we have that desire that's within us, but the thing about it is we're being led that way. We're being led in that direction by the Spirit of God that's within us. We see in the book of Romans, he said that's how you can know a child of God, because he's led by the Spirit of God himself. We find in the book of Romans, we'll begin there at verse 13. It says, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Then he says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God that God has placed within them when he adopted you into the family of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba Father. You see, that is that word adoption. God reached down, rescued us from the fallen state we were in Adam, and quickened us and adopted us into his very family. And it's because that you have that Spirit of God within you that causes you to cry out unto God, Abba Father, that causes you to cry out unto him. The same can be said of a person. I know it's been said of people in Africa who do not know the gospel, who do not know about Jesus, who have not heard the truth of the gospel as expressed here in God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Yet there's something within them that causes them to go out and to cry out unto a higher being, someone higher than them, and to say, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. They feel to be a sinner, and yet they have something within them that causes them to cry out unto God because of that spirit that is within them, and cry out unto God, Abba Father, the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now that's another great thing about being a child of God. As a child of God, we end up being heirs of God. Not only heirs of God, but joint heirs with his Son, Jesus Christ. And as heirs and joint heirs with God, we own everything that God owns. What does God own? God owns everything. There's nothing in this world that's made that was not made by God. Whatever God owns, we own it with him. We're heirs with him. We're joint heirs with him. We're in his family. And as in his family, we inherit all that that God has to offer to us. And all that he has, we're a part of it. So we're heirs and joint heirs. But what I wanted to get before you, those that are led by the Spirit of God in their lives to serve the Lord, to serve God, to go after him, it's because they are indeed the sons of God. And when I say sons of God, I'm not speaking of gender. I'm speaking of all the children of God. The sons of God, the daughters of God, all the children of God, all that God has indeed given a life unto. If we are his children, then certainly he would say that he is our Father. And so we find in the book of 2 Corinthians, it says here, 2 Corinthians, the last two verses of the sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians, it says this, wherefore, speaking of us as God's children, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, if you go back a little before this, you'll find that God is telling us as his children that we ought to separate ourselves from the world. It doesn't mean that we don't have an association out there in the business world with someone who doesn't have these feelings as we do, but as a child of God, you wouldn't have much of a life as a child of God wanting to serve the Lord if all of your associations were with with worldly men, of men who have no interest in God. So we're to separate ourselves from them. That's what we've done here this morning. We've separated ourselves from the world and gathered together with like precious saints, those who have the same feelings toward God as us, meeting out here to worship and adore and worship the Lord God of heaven and the great things that He's done for us. He said, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father." If God is our, if we are the sons of God, the daughters of God, then God is our Father. Well, where is our Father? He's in heaven. Jesus Christ, His Son, is seated right now at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven with God the Father. And so we have a God who is our Father. He said, "And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." You see, that's where the daughters come in. Sons and daughters, the children of God, all that God chose and elected and quickened here in life, saith the Lord God Almighty. If we are His sons, if we are His daughters, then He is indeed He is our Father which is in heaven. One other scripture that I want to look at this morning to show you what a great honor and privilege it is for us to be called the children of God. It says in 1 John chapter 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Now, that is a great love that can we just can't behold it. That God, who is in heaven, God who has all power, God who is all great and all good, and everything about the attributes of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father had for us, that He should adopt us into His family, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Now, you know, the world knows nothing about this great God. And so when we stand up for something, the world will say they know us not, because they knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now look forward to the day when I'll be able to see my Jesus as He is. I can just see glimpses of Him here in this world, and I can read about Him and rejoice about the good things that Jesus has done for me. But one day, because I am a son of God, because you are a son or a daughter of God, we're going to see Him as He is. And when we shall appear, we're going to be like Him. We're not going to have these old sinful bodies that we struggle with here in this life. We're going to be made in the perfect, sinless righteousness of Jesus Christ our Lord, where we'll ever serve and honor and praise Him all the days of our lives. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Yes, going back over to what Hosea wrote years before Christ even came into this world. In our text, he said, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sands of the sea." That's the same as that scripture says over in the book of Revelation, God, as a people out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe of people upon the face of the earth. That's spiritual Israel. That's God's triumphant kingdom. That's the ones that Christ came here to this world to redeem. And he went to the cross. He finished the work of salvation and redeemed every one of them on the tree of the cross when he finished the work that God the Father sent him to do in behalf of these, the children of God. What a great honor, what a great privilege it is to be called the sons of God, as Isaiah said here, to be called the sons of God, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. What a great honor, what a great privilege. Now I ask you to pray and remember Elder Martin as he comes here to preach to you now. Thank you for your attention.
Lord, have